today as we come to the table.
Let me tell you something. I can promise you, as this nation gets darker and darker and begins to fall apart more and more, those family members and friends that have rejected you for your faith in Christ, they're going to come to you and start asking you questions. You're going to start shining in front of them. And they're going to look to you for answers because they see something different in your life. You're shining in a different way. They're not shining. And you're not worried and they're worried. They don't have answers and you have answers. They now see that in Jephthah. Saying, look, we're in a big mess here. We see our nation falling apart. We see there's something that you've got that's not falling apart. And it would appear that the time that Jephthah was away, God was working in his life. Because we're going to see in just a moment, he gives God the glory.
Unfortunately, the world we live in is dark and is only getting darker every day. But fortunately, as Christians, we have the light, and we can be light amidst the darkness. We can shine for Jesus by staying positive, calm, and steady so our family, friends, and coworkers can see exactly who our God is. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will show that you have an opportunity to share Jesus with those when life gets hectic, when the world is spiraling, and you stay confident and unwavering in your God, people will notice. And you then have an opportunity to share why you do not need to worry. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 11, as he continues his message, Rejected by Men, Yet Called by God.
God loves to take the one that nobody else loves, and he'll take that one and show special love to them. Isn't that sweet? That I love that. There's such a sweetness and a justice that's built into God's very character. And so, if you've ever felt like a son or a daughter of a harlot, so to speak, or maybe you feel that way and you feel unloved and unusable by God today, so did Jephthah. But God had in his future a mighty man of valor. That's how God saw him, and that's how God was going to use him. Now, I love this too, because notice this. It says that Gilead begot Jephthah. Now, Gilead means rocky places, and Jephthah means he has opened. And I find the Holy Spirit here using this to make further points to drive this home. And that is that their name meanings sum up one of the main themes, I think, of what the Lord is showing us in this passage. And that is this. It is oftentimes through the rocky places of life that true character is developed. And then when that's developed, God opens doors for ministry. See, here's the hope you have. If you came from a rocky past, if you come from a sordid background, a lot of the work that God needed to do to develop in you has already been done. Now you just need to commit to him and let him shine it up. If you come from a real easy background, well, that doesn't mean God can't use you, but there's going to have to be some trials and tests you have to go through before God can use you as greatly. But don't feel like somehow you're left out if your background is harsher, because oftentimes it's the harsher backgrounds that have been more molded and ready. And then when God says it's time to save that person and to shine that person up and to turn that corner, they're used in greater ways. Listen, nobody can minister to a rejected person like those of you who have been rejected. Those of you in this room that have gone through rocky places, you can minister to other people that have gone through rocky places like nobody else can do. As a matter of fact, oftentimes it's the pampered places, they're the ones that God can't use and they never even come to God, and oftentimes get in the most trouble. They never develop any true character of life. And so God delights to take those of us that have been in rocky places and use us. Now, if you haven't been through rocky places, don't worry, you will be. Just want to encourage you. I want to be that encouraging pastor. Why? Because God is going to develop character, and he's going to develop in you what he needs to do to get the diamond that he's seeking. And remember, it's not just for down here. God's working for eternity. This is something, God's viewpoint is much different than ours. But we need to rest assured that no matter how bad it has been or what we've gone through, God never wastes anything. He uses it all. You ever wonder, God, why was I born in this family? Why was I born in a family that rejected me? Why was I born in a family that I didn't fit in? God, what am I doing here? What's going on, God? Why did this happen? Why am I the only one in my family, Lord, that even knows you? I remember praying that prayer one day. Lord, why am I the only one in the family? And I remember God speaking in my heart saying, look, I took you because I knew you'd give your life to me, and I put you in that family so they would have a chance. Guys, some of you are wondering, why am I in this family that things have gone so horrible? God is saying, because I wanted that family to see what it was like. When I'm done with you, I wanted them to see what it's like when I take someone who is treated as worthless and I make them into a diamond through all the pressure and all the heat and all the rejection. When they see the finished product, it's going to be a testimony to that family. And you might be thinking, you know, God, how come I'm the only one? Because God put you there so you can reach others. You know, you think about it. God could have put you in any family he wanted. I know we have the same DNA, the same genetic characteristics from our family that we're born into. I get that. But God is the one who chooses what families we're in and where we're born. And I don't know how God did that. But wouldn't it be interesting to find out God said, all right, I'm going to take you and put you in that family because nobody's going to be saved, and I want them to at least see a witness. I'm going to put you and put you in that family because there's going to be a lot of people rejected and hurt, and I want you to know what that feels like so you can minister to them. I'm going to put you in that family over here on the other side of the world because there's persecution. I used to wonder, God, why are believers over in the other part of the world being tortured and suffering and all that? God has a reason even for that, so that those people doing the torturing could be reached and have a witness. God loves even the torturer. Do we realize that? Now, I don't necessarily want to be the one he uses, do you? But I guarantee you, for those God has chosen, he has given them the grace to handle it, and their reward will be amazing. And so this is what God is doing in your life. Don't question, God, why this family? God, why the rejection? God, why this, the pressure, the heat? God, why this, all these things? Just say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. You could have put me in any family. You put me here. You knew what I would go through. God didn't put you there to torture you and abuse you, especially if you come from an abused family. I don't want to give you a wrong picture of God. He doesn't approve of that. But God knows what we can handle and what we can take, and he knows what he's doing to reach a lost world and to make us into what he wants us to be so that we can be that diamond that shines for him. We've got to learn to trust him. I think of Jacob going down to Egypt. Remember when he was going down there and he thought that Joseph was dead at that time, and now they're saying that Benjamin had to come down. If Benjamin didn't go down there, that this man in Pharaoh that was the ruler wouldn't help them or let their brother out of prison and give them the food they needed. He was backed into a corner. He had to let Benjamin go down there. And he says, all these things are working against me. He had Romans 8:28 exactly backwards. Those who are called of the Lord, when we're called of the Lord, guys, for his purpose, all things work together for good. Jacob didn't realize that yet. But God, after all these years of pain and suffering and confusion, in one moment brought it all to a point where he said, I get it. I understand. And God said, not only am I going to restore you and let you understand what I've been doing and reward you, I'm going to use you to plant a nation in Egypt, and it's going to be a special people unto me that will have their names written on the walls of eternal Jerusalem. Think about that for Jacob. Jacob, your kids and all this suffering and confusion, you think all things are working against you? Your names, the names of your very sons, the Bible tells us in Revelation, will be written on the foundation stones in heaven for eternity because you trusted me and stayed true to me. Isn't that amazing? So guys, what is God asking us to do? Trust him. Trust him, even in the midst of the hardship. I don't know the reasons. I don't know why you're suffering this morning, but I guarantee you God does, and he's got a purpose in it. Jephthah needed to learn this, and we need to learn it as well. Look at verse 2. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out. And they said to him, you shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. And not just the son of another woman, but the son of a harlot. Now Jephthah's family officially rejects him, although he'd been rejected from childhood up. I guarantee you, the day that baby came home, he was rejected because he was the son of a harlot. And now he grows up with all that rejection. Now he gets the day where the official rejection comes, because you know what? You're not getting our inheritance. You're not going to be a part of the when the money is split up at the end, when mom and dad die, you're not getting any of it. You're just one of dad's flings. That was sin. We want nothing to do with you. And so now we have this whole thing about seeing the rejection and no doubt bitterness toward their dad and bitterness toward Jephthah as well. And this whole thing that was going on. But again, just like Jesus, when his brothers rejected him, they didn't realize they were rejecting their future leader and their only hope of salvation. Because God was going to use Jephthah. And when your family has rejected you, they don't realize what they've done, guys. They don't realize that they're rejecting a daughter or a son of God, and that you're going to be rewarded for how you come out on the other end, and there'll be consequences for them. Notice, because he was the son of a different woman, they thrust him out. They forced him out. They rejected him. Verse 3, then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. Isn't it just like it when we feel worthless, we typically band with worthless people? It's my past. I grew up and felt like there wasn't really much to my life other than just whatever. I didn't really feel, I don't want to over-dramatize it, and I don't want to paint a wrong picture. You know, I didn't necessarily walk around feeling I was worthless all the time with my head hanging down, but after a while, you know, I realized, you know, what is life really about? And what's really the point of all this? And I wasn't really finding satisfaction in life. It seemed like that everything was worthless to some degree, and I began to hang out with worthless people, and my life became worthless. But the exciting thing to me is God is now going to go after Jephthah in this worthless environment and yank him out of it for his glory. You know, I didn't get saved in a church. I was playing in the clubs and living the party life, and God came after me. He sent people into my life to be a testimony to me, Tracy being one of them. But other people throughout my life sharing the Lord with me, being a witness to me, and God came after me, and I knew that God was coming after me. I wasn't listening to the pastor in the church. I was running from God. But God came after me in the midst of this worthless environment that I'd put myself in and said, Mark, if you will simply submit to me and give your life to me, I'll pull you out of this worthless environment and I'll make you something of value. I'll use you for my kingdom. I'll save you, really, is all I wanted. I just wanted to be saved at that time. It was later on God said, not only will I save you, I'll use you. I'm amazed that God uses me for anything. I was happy just to be saved. You ever been there? I'm just glad to be in. You know, I used to joke about getting in the door and you're smoking. Oh, wow, this place is beautiful. You know, just because you just were halfway on fire, you're already partly in hell. I was happy to get in. And then God says, welcome. I'm going to use you. You're my child. I'm not your child. I'm just this kid that rebelled. You saved me. Not anymore. You're my child. So I did save you, but now I've got work for you to do. And that's what God wants for every single one of you in here. You're his child. He's got work for you to do, and he wants to use you, and he will use you for his glory if you'll let him. And that's the key. When God came after me, I said, all right, I'll let you. I could have said no. I said, no, I don't want you, Lord. And I did for 2 years. I ran for 2 years after he started coming after me. But he kept chasing me. Isn't he good? And finally, I gave in. And guys, maybe some of you are running. God's asking you to give in this morning. Whether you don't know him or whether you're running and you know the Lord, you've been living in a way you know you're not supposed to, and God is saying it's time to stop running and come back. God is faithful to do that, but there is chastisement, there are consequences, and God will come after us where we are. God goes after Jephthah where he is, and he's going to go right in the midst of this worthless crowd that Jephthah has put himself in, and he's going to get Jephthah. But here's what's really cool. God will not only yank us out of that worthless crowd, God will use us to go back and love that worthless crowd. I remember after I got saved, God said, no, you were worthless, and they're living that way too. He didn't use those words. I'm using it because of the scripture here for an example. He said, your life was messed up. Theirs is messed up too. Go share the Lord with them. And I went and shared the Lord with them. And I'd love to say that when I shared the Lord with them, they'd have said, you know what? We see that. We're going to come out of the clubs too, and we're going to give our life to the Lord. We're going to start going to church, or we're going to hang out at church, you know, and we're going to do all these things. And that's where our life's going to be because we want to follow Jesus. That didn't happen. But you know what did happen? And I'm not saying it's because of me or because I shared the Lord with them, but this is still exciting to me. I found out many years later that two of the guys I played in clubs with are now serving the Lord. And both of them are worship leaders in different churches. And I remember going to them, kind of looking at me like, you're a nutcase. And I guess maybe with the Lord, I kind of still am. I don't know. I don't know, but I know that God let me be a part of the person who was back in their life. So my point is, when I say God takes us out of the worthless crowd, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love them because we were part of them. God says, I'll pull you out. Now you go back and get them. And God wants basically a rescue mission so we can pull as many as we can out of there up to the kingdom. And now God goes and grabs Jephthah, we're going to see in just a moment, from this worthless band of men and uses him for his glory. Look at verse 4. It says, now it came to pass after a time, so we don't know how long, a time went by, that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. So they go after him. They realize, hey, this guy has something we need. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our commander that we may fight against the people of Ammon. And again, it's interesting here, this one that they hated, rejected, and mistreated, this Jephthah, they now, when times get tough, they call on him. You ever had that happen? Maybe rejected by a friend or a family member, and then things get tough, and all of a sudden the phone rings, hey, could you pray for me? We've got this thing going on. And suddenly you're praying for the people that made fun of you. You're praying for those that mocked you. Because this is only a work of the Lord. Now, not all of them give their life to the Lord, but God can use that to do that. And I love that. He had developed a name for himself while he was in the land of Tob, and I think that's interesting because the land of Tob means good. Good is what Tob means. And the bottom line is, while he was rejected by his family and was on the run and started hanging out with worthless people, God said, I see good in you, and I'm going to make good out of your life. I'm going to yank you from that worthless situation and use it as a good land in your life. And I can remember when God, began to work in my life, taking me to different places that at the time didn't seem that good, but God used them to break me and to get me where I needed to be so that my life was where it needed to be. And God is faithful to do that. I wonder when Jephthah was out there, if he ever wondered, I wonder if I'll ever get any justice before my family, any vindication because of how wrong they were in rejecting me or doing whatever they did to me. You wonder if he ever thought that. But simply by waiting on God and trusting in the Lord, God vindicated him. And God not only vindicated him, God showed, there are qualities in Jephthah that you as a family need. And not only that, I'm going to elevate him. I'm going to lift him up above you. You rejected him, but I'm going to use him in greater ways. He's going to shine brighter than you did because of the extreme heat and the extreme pressure and the rejection. And he's going to be a leader among my people. Isn't that awesome? That's exciting to me. And so for those of you, again, who come from that background, you realize, and you should be realizing, God, if he did it for Jephthah, God can do that for me. And so Jephthah said to the elders, verse 7 of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come now when you're in distress? I don't know if maybe he was playing it a little bit for what it's worth, but either way. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we've turned again to you now, that you may go with us to fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over the inhabitants of Gilead. Let me tell you something. I can promise you, as this nation gets darker and darker and begins to fall apart more and more, those family members and friends that have rejected you for your faith in Christ, they're going to come to you and start asking you questions. You're going to start shining in front of them, and they're going to look to you for answers because they see something different in your life. You're shining in a different way. They're not shining, and you're not worried, and they're worried. They don't have answers, and you have answers. They now see that in Jephthah. They're saying, look, we're in a big mess here. We see our nation falling apart. We see there's something that you've got that's not falling apart, and it would appear that the time that Jephthah was away, God was working in his life. Because we're going to see in just a moment, he gives God the glory if there's any victory in this, and then he speaks these vows or these words before God when they inaugurate him in verse 11. So God has been working in Jephthah's life. The family sees it. They realize they need him. Yes, he was a warrior, but there were other qualities to Jephthah's life that they were now recognizing. And notice verse 8, and the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we've turned again to you to fight the people of Ammon and to be our head over the inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words. Notice this. I find this interesting. He says, hey, if I go home, if you bring me back to my home where I was, and you allow me to be your leader, that'll be condition one. You allow me to be your leader, I'll be your leader. But notice this. He says, only if the Lord gives the victory. I don't know if the Lord didn't give the victory, would he not be the leader? I don't know. But Jephthah here is giving God the glory. He says, if anybody's going to win this battle, it's not going to be me, it's going to be God. So I'll go back with you, and I'll do this, but God's going to have to be the one to give the victory. So it shows Jephthah feared God and was not trying to take the glory for himself, and again demonstrates the work that God was doing in Jephthah's life. And then verse 11, then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. Notice, not just head or leader, but also commander. So he was their leader, but also the commander of their army. He got double honor as he went back. And notice this, and Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah, taking his vows, his inauguration, his oath to be their leader and their commander before God. And so Jephthah now coming full circle, being rejected by his family, being cast out, ending up running among the worthless crowd, if you will, God now does a work in Jephthah's life, brings him back around, restores at least how his family sees him. It doesn't say they liked him, but now his family sees, you know what? God had his hand on that man. And they have to acknowledge that. And then they're going to have to further acknowledge it when they see that God uses Jephthah to deliver them from their enemies. And so we don't know whether or not the family was ever restored or not. But we know that definitely Jephthah was vindicated before his family as they saw what God had done in Jephthah's life through all the extreme heat, through all the extreme pressure, through all the hardship, through all of the asteroid strikes of life's difficulties. A diamond had now been formed, and they had to acknowledge, you know what, Jephthah, you've got something we don't, and we need you. And your family and your friends are going to look at you one day after you go through all of these same things and say, you know what? You've got something I don't. Could you pray for me? As our nation falls apart, can you give me answers? Can you show me something? You're different. There's something about you that's not the same. And so, guys, as we finish today, the encouragement that I want to give you, first of all, I ask you this question. Has your life been marked by the extreme heat and pressure of difficulties, and have you been struck by the asteroid of rejection, whether by family or friends? Then you know what Jephthah's been through, and God is going to do an amazing thing in your life if you'll let him. He has a purpose for it. God has allowed this in your life because it's the only way that God can make you into the diamond he wants you to be for his glory. And although difficult, it'll one day be worth it. Either by what God does through you down here, or by what God does in your life for eternity in heaven. You know, the very people that make fun of believers, the Bible says in the last days will be kissing their feet. I'm not sure what that means, but I know I don't want to be one mocking the children of God. And I know it is a great place of honor to be a child of the Lord. Don't lose heart. Be faithful, be courageous, trust that God will complete the work he's begun, realize that the suffering you have gone through and that you're going through has a purpose, and you will be rewarded because God is faithful to do it. It's wonderful to know the Lord has a plan for our life, and we need to learn to thank him and trust him. Let's pray. Lord, we want to do that right now. We want to learn to trust you, no matter how difficult our life may be or has seemed. Lord, we also want to thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. God, many of us have gone through many great difficulties. There are some in here that are going through extreme heat and pressure right now. There are others in here that are going through rejection at this very moment, from whatever avenue it's coming from. But Lord, I pray that you would just remind all of us today that there's a purpose for it and that you are forming and shaping something that could never be formed and shaped any other way. Something so beautiful to bring you glory that we won't even understand until we stand before you on that day and it's revealed.
What a pleasure it's been to have you with us today for this edition of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is walking us through the book of Judges. This, of course, was a time in Israel's history prior to the era of the kings of Israel. Time and time again, Israel was in a precarious situation of being taken advantage of. And God allowed someone to come in and help the nation of Israel be rescued from slavery or oppression. Isn't this such an interesting thing that translates well beyond the Old Testament times? Jesus became the ultimate rescuer who came to rescue mankind from a state of sin and slavery. For those who reject Jesus and his salvation, there are judgments and consequences that come with that choice. But that's not what God wants for any person. He'd much rather have you enter into the heavenly family of God, accepting the invitation that Jesus has offered on his death on the cross. If you're unsure of what all of this means, we invite you to learn more at thewaymedia.net. While there, you can click on the link to Calvary Knoxville, where we have a variety of resources available to you. You can also reach us at our phone number, 865-609-1385. Once again, that phone number to call for questions, concerns, or prayer requests is 865-609-1385. Thanks so much for tuning into the Book of Judges today. We look forward to hearing what Pastor Mark has to share next time about more judges in the Old Testament and what the purpose of each one was. This has been Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.